Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. We know you love getting into the weeds of a topic, but you probably hate the information overload that usually comes with it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of noise out there.
Exactly. So our mission today is to cut through that noise. We are unpacking a highly detailed, honestly fascinating dossier covering the explosive reality of China's robotics and AI industry. And we're looking at exactly where it stands right now, mid-2026.
It is a massive ecosystem to cover, but the source material gives us such a clear picture of what's actually happening on the ground.
It really does. And I want to set the scene with this one specific story from the dossier because I think it perfectly captures the stakes.
Oh, the Tesla inspection.
Yes. So it's October 2025. A team of Tesla inspectors is just quietly touring these Chinese factory floors, places like Hengli Hydraulic and Sanwa. And they are there to determine who gets to build the physical bodies for 1 million Optimus robots.
Right, which is a mind-boggling order volume.
Unprecedented. And they basically had three very specific questions before signing anything. Number one, is this technology exclusively yours? Number two, does the quality hold up if we scale it by 100 times? And number three, can you control the costs?
And, those three questions are essentially reshaping the entire global supply chain as we speak.
Because building 1 million robots means you have to map out this entire anatomy, right? Which is our roadmap for today. We're going to start with the physical body, so the joints, the hands, where these brutal price wars are
Then
happening.
we'll move up to the brain,
Yeah.
the hardware chips trying to survive under US sanctions.
Right. And finally, we'll zoom out to the soul. The cloud AI algorithm is where the real power actually sits. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it. So before a robot can think, obviously it has to be able to move reliably. And the brutal economics of robotic limbs right now is just, it's wild. Money alone cannot buy precision here.
No, it can't. Because if Tesla wants 1 million robots, the first hurdle is just physics. You have to make 1 million limbs move without going bankrupt. I was looking at the breakdown for the joints, specifically these things called harmonic reducers. An Optimus robot needs 14 of them. And historically, Japan's harmonic drive basically owned this market,
Yeah,
right?
they were commanding, I think, 1,100 to 1,200 RMB per unit, which is a premium.
A huge premium, but the domestic Chinese market has just aggressively undercut that. There's a company called Leader Drive that pushed the price down to like 600 or 750 RMB, and then another one, Leifu, dropped it to 573 RMB.
There's a race to the bottom.
It really is. But if you do the crazy math on that, multiplying a 600 RMB savings by 14 joints across 1 million robots, I mean, that completely alters the economic reality of building humanoids.
Oh, absolutely. But what's fascinating here is the downstream effect of that price slashing, because you get this severe
Right,
overcapacity,
they're building too much too fast.
way too fast. When you have the price of a core component, you crush your own industry's profit margins. They've dropped from, a healthy 40% down to like 25 or 35%. Yeah. Driven by state incentives and just the sheer hype of this robotics boom, everyone rushed to build factory lines. As of 2025, the global capacity for these reducers hit 5 million units, but the utilization rate is literally sitting below 50%.
Wait, really? So they have millions of these complex parts just ready to go, but nobody to buy them.
Exactly. The end user market just hasn't matured enough yet to absorb all that hardware.
Wow. And the dossier makes a point that the cost savings don't even guarantee the same performance. The Japanese parts still win out on long-term
More
durability.
tension force and idle life, yeah.
Right. So when a robotic arm is holding, say, a 20-pound piece of metal at full extension, the micro deformations in those gear teeth dictate if the arm is going to tremble or stay dead steady.
And that stability over time is where the cheaper parts start to fail.
Exactly. And that failure rate gets even worse when you look at the true bottleneck, the planetary roller screws.
Ah, yes, the knees.
Yeah, this is what lets a robot bend its knees and bear its own dynamic weight. Swiss and German companies completely dominate here. As of 2022, China only had about a 19% market share.
Because a planetary roller screw takes three times the static load of a normal screw and lasts 15 times longer. It's an incredibly difficult piece of engineering.
The analogy that came to mind reading the sources was it's like the difference between mass producing a cheap digital watch and handcrafting a Swiss mechanical watch.
That is a perfect way to put it.
And it all comes down to this concept of hand feel. I mean, these Chinese factories have the blueprints. They have billions in capital. Hengli Hydraulic literally threw a 5 billion RMB investment at this. But they are struggling with the yield rates.
Because you can't just buy a fancy 5-axis CNC machine, throw raw steel into it, and expect a perfect screw to pop out.
Right. You need an operator with decades of tactile experience. Someone who just intuitively knows how the metal is expanding from the heat of the grinder in real time. So they adjust the machine by fractions of a micron to save the thread profile.
And that kind of intuition is generational. European companies have been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
So without that hand feel, the newer manufacturers are just brute forcing it. They end up throwing away a huge percentage of flawed units.
Which totally ruins the whole cheap scalability argument.
Exactly. But if the knees and joints need that much generational expertise, the literal robotic hand is basically the final boss of hardware engineering.
Oh, absolutely. The hand is a nightmare to build. You're trying to stuff tactile sensors and microactuators into this tiny flexible space. But the sources highlight the Shanghai AI Expo in July 2025.
The Inspire Robot's hand, right?
Yeah, the RH56F1. People were lining up just to remotely control it and shake its hand. It was mimicking these super fine gestures in real time. It felt like they just totally bypassed the normal R&D cycle.
They really did. But this raises an important question about the export flip we're seeing.
The export flip.
Yeah, historically, high-end robot parts move from the West to the East.
Yeah.
But Inspire Robots is selling these incredibly capable hands for about 30,000 RMB.
Which is practically nothing in robotics terms.
Right. It's so cheap that foreign humanoid startups in North America, Japan, and Korea are just buying the Chinese hands. They are using them as standard plug-and-play parts because it's cheaper than doing their own R&D.
Oh, wow. So they're just bolting them onto their own proprietary arms. That is wild. But I will say there's a really glaring data discrepancy in the dossier about this.
The production numbers.
Yeah. In 2025, the global output for humanoid robots was roughly 18,000 units. But over 20,000 robotic hands were mass-produced.
And since a robot usually needs two hands.
Exactly. The math doesn't work. The hands are being treated like commodities and sold way faster than the actual walking robots they belong to.
It shows that the hand component is maturing faster than the entire bipedal system.
But I do have to push back a little on the hype here, because surviving a beautifully lit expo center in Shanghai is totally different from surviving a gritty factory floor.
Oh, for sure. The vibration alone is a killer.
Right. Continuous vibration, particulate dust, thermal cycling. A 3-month stint in an auto plant will shatter those cheap actuator housings. In fact, Inspire Robots had to completely change their fifth generation design to an all-metal unibody just because the older ones were falling apart under industrial stress.
So selling 20,000 hands to university labs is great for the balance sheet, but it doesn't mean you've solved heavy industry durability.
Exactly. But let's pivot, because a cheap, durable body is totally useless without a brain.
Right. The compute layer.
Right. And this is where the geopolitics completely scramble the board.
Mm.
How is China powering these millions of robots when they are cut off from high-end U.S. chips?
Well, it starts with the state mandate. The NDRC, the National Development and Reform Commission, rolled out this 2 trillion RMB infrastructure plan, which is roughly 295 trillion KRW.
That is a staggering amount of money.
It is. But there's a massive catch. 80% of the new data center tech must be domestically sourced.
Wow.
Yeah, so the market isn't choosing the best chip anymore. The government is forcing the choice.
Which brings us to Huawei. Their Ascend 950PR chip, it's supposed to enter mass production right around now, April 2026, targeting 750,000 units. It's basically built to replace NVIDIA's H20.
But the raw specs were lower, right?
Yeah, it only hits about 80% of the performance of an NVIDIA H100. It's still using older fourth generation memory. But here's where it gets really interesting. Huawei's secret weapon isn't actually the hardware.
It's the software bridge.
Yes. CNN Next. If you're a developer and you've spent years writing code on NVIDIA's CUDA platform, you can't just rewrite millions of lines of code for a Huawei chip. You'd go bankrupt.
The switching costs are too high.
Exactly. So Huawei built CNN Next to just compile and port that existing NVIDIA code over to their chips automatically. It drops the switching cost to basically zero.
Which is a brilliant move.
Yeah.
And ironically, the U.S. sanctions kind of created an artificial boon for Huawei here.
Oh, totally. Because companies like DeepSeek committed to domestic chips, Huawei couldn't even keep up with the demand. Their chip prices spiked by 20%. It's like, you know when you put a box over a growing plant?
Yeah, it just finds the cracks to reach the sunlight.
Right. The sanctions just forced all that domestic money into Huawei's pockets.
But it's not all sunshine, obviously. The inefficiencies in this walled-off market are brutal. Look at Capricorn.
The other big AI chip maker.
Right. In 2025, their revenue jumped 453%. Huge win on paper. but they're relying on SMAC's N+2 7-nanometer process. And because they can't buy the advanced EUV machines from ASML, they have to use older multi-patterning lithography.
Right, running the wafers through the older DUV machines multiple times.
Exactly, quadruple patterning sometimes. And every time you move that wafer, the chance for a microscopic error compounds. So Cambricon's yield rate is roughly 20%.
That is insane. They throw away 8 out of every 10 chips they make.
Yep. In a normal market, an 80% defect rate would bankrupt a company overnight. Bloomberg actually called it political production. It ignores basic economics just to hit that 80% state quota.
That is such a huge waste of money. And this compute mandate isn't just for massive cloud servers, right? It's hitting the edge chips, too.
The Cerebellum with the robot. Yeah, Horizon Robotics is a great example. They originally made chips for autonomous driving, but now they're pivoting to robots.
Which makes total sense, because navigating a messy intersection in a car is mathematically the same as navigating a messy warehouse floor. You're just translating visual data into a bipedal walk instead of a steering wheel.
Exactly. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have hardware makers bleeding money on cheap bodies and chip designers fighting terrible yield rates. So who is actually winning here?
The puppet masters. The big tech cloud giants. They are playing a completely different game.
Oh, they are.
Look at Alibaba. They dropped their Qwen robot suite literally days before they got flagged by the US DOD. They aren't trying to build metal joints. They offer an API with navigation, manipulation, and these massive world models trained on 200 million frames of video.
And they basically give this high-end cloud brain away to the hardware makers.
Right. Why? So they can suck up all the physical data those robots gather. So what does this all mean? It's exactly like the smartphone wars. Alibaba and Tencent are treating the robot bodies like cheap Android phones.
They don't care who makes the plastic shell.
Exactly. They just want to own the operating system and the app store. Do the hardware makers even realize they are just being turned into empty vessels?
They have to know, but they're trapped by the economics. Training a foundational AI takes billions. A startup making robotic knees can't afford that, so they take the deal.
It's a trap.
Tencent takes this to the extreme. They split the brain into a dual architecture. A lightweight model, the MOT, sits on the robot for quick reflexes, and a massive MoE model sits in Tencent's cloud for deep thinking.
Reflexes on the edge, reasoning in the cloud.
Exactly. Plus, Tencent is just buying up the whole supply chain. They poured billions into DeepSeek for the AI, Agibot for the hardware, and they provide 70% of the revenue for Inflame, the chipmaker.
That's a total monopoly play. And JD.com is doing the same thing with their massive logistics hubs. They're basically using their warehouses as giant data factories, having early robots do pick-and-place tasks just to harvest the real-world training data.
It's a closed loop. If you don't have a million warehouses, you can't compete with them.
So, synthesizing everything we've talked about today, the Chinese robotics ecosystem in 2026 is just this massive, vertically integrated, ruthless machine.
Very ruthless.
The hardware companies bleed profit to make the bodies cheap. The state forces everyone to buy domestic brain chips. And the tech giants sweep up all the data from the cloud.
It is the exact blueprint for how the next global tech monopoly is being built piece by piece, right under our noses.
It really is. And for you listening, this isn't just an engineering story. It's about who controls the next iteration of physical labor.
Yeah.
But I want to leave you with one final kind of mind-bending thought from the dossier before we go.
Okay, lay it on me.
So throughout this deep dive, we talked about that 70-year European advantage in hand feel, right? The physical precision needed for those joints.
Right, the tactile machining expertise.
But what if that physical precision just stops mattering?
Wait, what do you mean?
If these AI algorithms from Tencent and Alibaba get incredibly smart and the edge chips get fast enough, what if the software can just instantly auto-correct the physical errors of a cheap, poorly machined joint?
Oh, wow. So algorithmic compensation.
Exactly. If the brain can predict a mechanical slip and send a counter signal in milliseconds to stabilize it, does that 70-year advantage of Japanese and European craftsmanship just disappear overnight?
The software basically fixes the hardware's mistakes.
Exactly. The smartest brain compensating for the cheapest body. It's something to think about.
That completely flips the economic model upside down.
It really does. Anyway, thank you for bringing us such incredible source material today. We love breaking down these systems, and we will catch you back here for our next deep dive.